I want to tell you about a new podcast called Amuse News. Publishing multiple days a week, Amuse News is your source for food news, interviews from around the food world, and more. On the show, we'll be engaging with food storytellers, from chefs to advocates to people working in the field, and many more. Find Amuse News wherever you get your podcasts. Amuse News is a destination for everyone who's looking for a new, insightful look into the world of food.
This piece was brought to you by Roberta's, robertaspizza.com.
Hi guys, I'm Jamie Oliver, and you're listening to Heritage Radio Network, a member-supported podcast network broadcasting over 35 weekly shows live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. This year, HRN is celebrating 10 years of food radio. How amazing. For the past decade, they've been taking you behind the scenes of farms, restaurants, breweries, school cafeterias, and so much more. It's been 10 years, and they're just getting started. Learn more at heritageradionetwork.org.
Hello, and welcome to Cutting the Curd on the Heritage Radio Network. This is your host, Elena Santigade. You could say that every episode of Cutting the Curd takes you on a journey in one way or another. Sometimes we go down the rabbit hole with a specific cheese shop and learn about the ins and outs of their business, or we journey to the make room and get into how cheese is made, why certain decisions are made, and how it all impacts the bottom line. On today's show, we're going to get meta with the idea of journeys in cheese. Here in studio with me are Anna Jewell, founder and CEO of Cheese Journeys, and Sylvain Jamois, private chef and cooking instructor on most of the Cheese Journeys tours that Anna's company produces. Anna, Sylvain, welcome to Cutting the Curd.
Thanks,
great to be here. Yeah.
So Cheese Journeys is essentially a food tourism business. That's sort of how I think about it. It's a curated travel for the tourophile. That's like
exactly.
Maybe a new t-shirt for you, by the way.
Like it.
Small group tours through the greatest cheesemaking landscapes in the world. For you cheese lovers out there, if you haven't yet ogled over the itineraries on their website, you're in for a treat, or potentially severe FOMO, depending on your mindset. So let's start with, what are your current Cheese Journeys destinations? What Cheese Journeys do you offer as a business right now?
Right. So for 2019, we have about 9 tours on our schedule. Mm. We have 3 tours in the making that will finish up next year and into 2020. But we start April 1 and we're back in the UK for a 5-day immersion in Somerset with the Cheddar Odyssey. We leave there and we head to Holland for our first Amsterdam Netherlands tour with Lemieux, Basque people, Beemster.
Oh my gosh. It's party animals all around.
The ultimate experience. And literally, I've been working on this project for about 3 years. So thrilled to be able to go there during tulip season.
Uh-huh.
We'll leave there, have a little break, and then we're heading back to France for 2 private tours with Fairfield Cheese Company and their anniversary celebration and their guests. Mm-hmm. We'll be back in France again with Sylvain in July with St. James Cheese Company and some of their people. And then in the fall, we're heading to Italy twice. We'll be in Bra for the Bra Cheese Festival.
Oh my gosh.
And then we're going to go on back to England. And also our new tour that's going to be great in October will be a long weekend getaway in Asheville and Charlottesville, North Carolina.
Oh, cool.
A great new tour itinerary that we're looking forward to.
Yeah, budding cheese scene there.
Exactly. And some great beer.
Ooh, definitely. Yeah. Where there's good cheese, I feel like there's also really great beer.
Yeah, some great people.
I mean, there's some built-in pairings there on your journeys, right?
Oh, yeah.
So, okay, how do you decide where to go? I mean, some of these are like the pillars of cheese destinations. You know, the Somerset, England, to me, is like Mecca in terms of being a cheddar lover. It's like you have to go there. But how do you coordinate, like how do you curate that list of where you really want to take people?
Yeah, every tour that we build is a very customized, curated type of experience. So I look in my repertoire of relationships that I have with cheese makers and some of the most favorite places that I've ever been. Of course, we're looking for a very cheese-centric logistically manageable area that we believe and know that cheesemakers are hospitable and love to have us come visit, and our favorite destinations for other people. One of the other things that's a signature piece that I try to build in almost every tour is that we have a destination piece of property that we come and stay at. That's not always easy to do, but of course in Somerset, we have North Cadbury Court with the Montgomerys.
Oh my gosh.
In France, we're a week in a beautiful 1,000-year-old chateau that we take over. And that lends to this very intimate kind of travel experience where you come and go with the group. And the evenings are family-style meals, cheese education, wine, chef teaching, all of those kind of things that I just love that we have that. And that's a critical piece in most of our tours.
So walk us through sort of the tour elements. You know, you've got that critical piece. What happens on your tours? Paint a picture for us in terms of what are the critical elements that are going to, if somebody's curious to go on a cheese journey, what are they going
to
find?
Right. Well, all of our guests travel to the start of the destination location on their own.
Right.
We start that tour, for instance, in London, in England, Geneva in France, or in Philadelphia there. We start and end of the tour in Philadelphia. But we start right away with this immersion into, you know, not just the cheese and the hands-on experience of maybe in France heading up to the Jura and going to Marcel Petit and, of course, the you know, Cathedral of Comté, 100,000 wheels of Comté.
This is a former military stronghold now filled with cheese.
Exactly. It's just truly life-altering, right? And
so you go right to some iconic thing like that, kind of check it out.
Yeah, meet the local people, spend time, you know, we mentioned in the chateau, we're often with chef teaching. So there's this nice mix of some day tripping to farms and locations, creameries, foodie type experiences, but also some stay back, hang out at the chateau, and bring those things to us.
Right.
And so guests don't feel compelled to always be racing through this, you know, 8 to 12 day experience.
Right. Totally. So you sort of have this relaxing at home, like home away from medieval home sometimes.
Yeah.
And you have this relaxing experience where Sylvain creates this kind of like this warm, you know, lay back, have a happy hour while we roast this pig.
Yeah, that's pretty much
that's pretty much what happens.
Yeah.
I believe, and listeners, full disclosure here, I was lucky enough to go on, what was it,
the first?
The very first cheese journey.
You were a guinea pig.
Oh, how I wish to be a guinea pig again someday. It was amazing, and we did go to Somerset, and Sylvain was the cook, the chef with us, and we had, you know, even then on your first trip, really trying things out, it was a trip of cheese professionals.
Yes, that was.
I think it was, everybody was working in the cheese industry, right? Yeah. And so we really had even that balance, even on the first trip. I remember so distinctly hanging out in Jamie Montgomery's house and relaxing like we lived there, which was a dream of all dreams.
Having him drop by, hang out, chat cheese.
Totally.
Yeah, that was pretty special.
And then go out and about and, you know, go on these big adventures visiting cheesemakers all over that area.
Yeah. And I think since even that tour, you know, one of my other signature things that we've added is usually always bringing a cheese educator with us. So maybe a co-host.
Right.
Often Tania Darlington, Madame Fromage. Next year she'll be with us 4 times. So we're teaching and talking cheese, even in those down times with various types of classes.
Yeah, you sort of have this built-in resource, in a sense, for folks on the tour where they can, you know, sometimes you get to go to a cheese class or something and you ask a cheese expert some questions for an hour or so. But imagine on your whole vacation getting to ask any cheese question that comes to mind. And Sylvain, when you cook for these cheese journeys, do you find that people jump in the kitchen with you? Are you doing demos and sort of teaching cooking methods, or is it a mixture of?
Yeah, we do a mixture of all this, but we always make sure we're building at least 2 classes that are designated times where we have a specific recipe that we're working to create. And it's always something that the guests are going to be eating that night or the next day. So there's a real purpose to it.
They get the satisfaction of consuming their own creations.
We've been making fresh pasta or puff pastry mm-hmm. for the beef Wellington, all sorts of things like that. So it's relevant to the menu.
Totally.
But equally, when there's a bit of downtime, if people are happy to, you know, come into the kitchen and, mm-hmm. and hang with us and maybe, well, it won't be so exciting as making puff pastry, but, you know, they just muck in and peel some potatoes.
Yeah, maybe
and,
chop a little onions.
You know, and just chat to us about the dishes we're making, have a glass of wine. So it's very relaxed atmosphere in the kitchen. We're not these kind of tyrannical chefs who will, you know, beat people out of the kitchen. We're very happy to have people walk in and out.
Well, in that sense, it also kind of gives it this feeling of a home kitchen where you're living in the kitchen together and kind of hanging out and enjoying
that. Yeah, and a lot of the venues we have pretty large kitchens, so it has the space.
Oh, I remember the kitchen in Jamie Montgomery's house. I think my apartment is about half the size of that kitchen.
Exactly. It's the ultimate dream catering kitchen.
Okay, so who goes? I mean, I know the trip that I went on was so unique in that it was your first, and it was a group of professionals who were kind of invited to go as guinea pigs to help shape this business you were building. But who is going on these trips at this point? You have mentioned that there are sort of three different segments, it seems. Like there's just a trip that anybody can sign up for. Cheese enthusiast, whoever you want. It seems like there's these private trips. I'm curious hearing more about those that are shop specific. And then there's professional trips. And so what type of people are in each one? I'm super curious about the cheese enthusiast one, most of all.
You know, I love that group because it's like for any of us who've been a cheese shop owner over the years, can you totally stereotype a cheese lover? No. they come from every cloth, from every walk of life. We can have chemists, we can have geeks, we can have, you know, hospitality specialists, people who really have a good strong knowledge of cheese.
Right.
And we can have some who have zero knowledge of cheese and some their spouse or someone drug them along.
Mm-hmm.
And what's so rewarding is to put this blend of people together and see real, you know, the artist of, you know, people like my co-host Sylvain, see them work with this type of people and get them all at this level where they finish in that period of time so passionate and enthused about cheese and the whole artisanal food world. That's amazing.
Do you find that the people's expectations are much different than what actually happens on a cheese journey, especially for that, you know, for a cheese professional, you kind of know what to expect. You're going to walk into a cheese making room, you're going to have a hairnet on, put the booties on your shoes, and you're going to learn about cheese. But in terms of the enthusiast's expectations, what do you think they think coming into it, and how are they changed afterwards? I'm so curious about
this. Yeah, you can imagine. Again, because they come from various levels, we as a company try to really reach out and spend time with our guests prior to the tour to provide them with information so they, what I think maybe has a reason, could provide them a reasonable expectation as to what they could have.
So do you almost do like cheese 101, like give them some info on, you know, working vocabulary, that kind of thing?
Our packet of information that we send out to them when before they travel now is pretty extensive with a good overview. But also what's as important as that is a questionnaire. Questionnaire where I ask the questions and they answer so that we have a good baseline of where they're coming from what their knowledge level is. Right. Often people will think, oh, this is exactly like a wine tour.
Mm.
And though there may be a few similarities, yes, you know, it's cheese world is
totally
a whole different
unique
animal. You know, we're tromping around on a farm and we're the cheese culture, the people there are very different than wine culture.
Right.
And I think for them to understand when the takeaway, when they have that experience, then they go back to their cheese shop or wherever, and they now have this connection with the story, with the people, with the history, the culture. And now they know why that cheese is special and it's expensive and how they can use
it. I would guess they never complain about the price ever again.
No, they so see how these people work very hard and what's involved, especially if we're talking about cheeses in Europe, but anywhere, to get it to them and they have access to it, a very perishable product, very unique
Totally.
For them. And I think what that does for them is very, it's awe-inspiring. I think I've never had people come home and say, oh, I don't get what all the hype is about.
Right.
They get it.
Right.
And I think that's been nice for cheese shop owners that I've worked closely with. When they come home with cheese customers that have had that opportunity that typically is only available for professionals.
They're probably their best customers.
They'll
be customers for life.
It makes their job easier and I think a very rewarding shopping experience for many of those customers.
Right.
I hear from them, they come home and they'll build their new cheese board and they have their expanded list of favorites.
That's
sweet.
That's neat. So how many people have, how many repeat Cheese Journey attendees have you had? Have you had people come on multiple trips?
Yeah, we have. We had just some people that were traveling with us 2 years ago in France, joined us in England this past year.
Mm-hmm.
We've got people that were in England are now heading to Amsterdam. Mm. A variety of,
Wow, it's very cool. Very cool. Tell us a little bit about the professional groups. I'm curious of who ends up coming on those. You know, for me, I think a big question, and I'm sure this is a big question for our listeners, is like, this sounds like a luxury tour. Mm-hmm. You know, this could easily get into like high end luxury. But the assumption I think would be that for professional tours, maybe it's lower cost, or is it just different? Or I'm curious like how you appeal to professionals and what even that word means in your definition.
I think there is, you know, as you and I know, that within the world of cheese professionals in the U.S., there are a mix of different types.
Mm-hmm.
There are cheese shop owners, there are cheese makers themselves, managers, mongers,
right,
and then all those, you know, in various other functioning in various other capacities. Typically, our tours are not necessarily just something that a monger maybe would reach out and travel with us.
Right.
But we have had many mongers traveling.
Uh-huh.
But they are maybe the price point is a little bit high for them.
Right.
Or they have limited time and resources to be able to take that much time off and
travel. The sad realities of cheesemongering in the U.S. is the woeful lack of vacation time, among others, and low pay, to be honest.
I also have a lot of people who are in the wine industry who are wanting to learn about cheese or expand into that.
Who might be like wine educators who feature cheese in their classes and stuff like that.
And they want, maybe their spouse is traveling with them or a cheese shop is bringing their spouse. They no longer, the days are over where they're going on a distributor type tour, you know, 10 locations in 5 days, you know, a very fast pace.
Right.
They are looking for more of a indulgent, slow down, cultural experience that their family, their spouse, or whoever could enjoy that experience as well.
And have you ever had, one thing I was thinking of, and listeners, if any of you shop owners or you know, managers are listening here, this, I want to plant a seed, and I'm wondering, Anna, if anyone has helped their staff go. If you know of any, you know, as a perk, as a professional perk, in terms of like subsidizing part of the trip. Has that happened at all on the professional groups?
We have something similar to that happen pretty often. I work closely with various shops when we offer a 5-for-1 type program. So if they assist us with some marketing campaign to get the word out to their cheese enthusiast customers,
right,
we appreciate that because I think we share that customer base.
Right.
And as a shop owner for years, I know I had a limited budget to educate my staff on cheese.
Right.
So Cheese Journeys is committed to be able to give back to those cheese shops by if a number of their guests come, we put a plan together and then they go at a reduced rate or they come, you know, as educators, that type of thing. So there's an incentive for them to be involved with the program because I think it's mutually beneficial.
Mm-hmm.
And for many of those shop owners, when I speak to them, they say, oh, I have customers that come in. Where do I get the best cheese here or there? Or if you've been over to Italy, where would you recommend I go? And the cheese shop owner is saying, I'm so busy. I have no time for planning tours, right? So when they know that we can custom curate something for them,
And kind of bring them along, a package.
Yeah, and provide that support and education for their customers, it's win-win.
Very cool. Listeners, we're going to take a quick break for our cheesy sponsors and for some updates from the Heritage Radio Network, of course. And we'll be back in just a moment.
My name is Brandon Hoy, co-owner of Roberta's, a super duper awesome place. Roberta's is a very, 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 very proud sponsor of the Heritage Radio Network.
We're also super awesome. Thank you, Heritage.
Welcome back to Cutting the Curd. I'm Elena Santigade, and today's show is all about cheese journeys, the company and the actual real-life journeys they orchestrate. In this second half of the show, I'm curious to hear more about Anna and Sylvain's personal journeys alongside the business. Now, we've been talking about the journeys themselves, the business, the people who are going on them. I'm curious, especially from Sylvain, from more of like a food preparation background, and you also have a cheese background, right? You were at Neil's Yard for some time.
That's right. Yeah, mm-hmm. I was there for nearly 3 years.
Oh, so cool. Best place. Oh, gosh.
It was an amazing place to work. And it's really governed the rest of my life. It was actually a chance thing for me to work there. I was studying fashion.
Ah.
And I needed a job for 2 months
Oh, this story.
Yeah.
This is every cheese person. It's amazing. True. It's like we all sort of we stumble into the hole in the ground that is the career in cheese, right?
Exactly.
It was just a summer job. And then it was so good working there.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I had no background really in cheese. In fact, when I went to inquire if they had a position, mm-hmm. I saw the manager at Neil's Yard in the Covent Garden branch, mm-hmm. and she just said to me, "Do you have any knowledge of cheese? How much do you know?" And I said, "Nothing, but I love it."
Mm.
And she said, "Okay, you got the job."
That's a good start.
That's how it all started.
So now you have your own private sort of chefing business. Is that what you're sort of doing, private cooking events on your own, and then also partnering with Anna on cheese journeys?
Yeah, so I do, in fact, quite a few things now. I do catering for small and large events, although I'm not doing so much of that. I've been branching out into teaching. I set up a cookery school with a friend for teenagers.
Very cool.
And this is not to teach them to become chefs. It's just more to teach them good life skills before they go to uni.
Yeah.
So I do a lot
of
that.
How to feed themselves and take care of the basics.
Yeah, and how to be thrifty and eat healthy food on a budget, on a student budget and so on, without, you know, succumbing to the really easy options of frozen pizzas and all that kind of stuff.
Ramen.
So, well, you know, and just cooking proper food doesn't have to be expensive. So that's what we arm them with. And then teaching in schools as well for little children. And then the sort of private catering and food styling. So it's very varied.
Yeah.
And also, well, a few times a year go abroad with Anna and cook amazing food.
And how has the cheese journeys, working with Anna and cheese journeys, has that experience changed your perception of cheese as an ingredient or even just as a product in and of itself?
Not really, but what has been amazing is hearing all the stories of the producers. I mean, unfortunately, I never get to go to these amazing places.
That's true. Sylvain is cooking the food while they're off.
Stay at home. But, of course, being involved in that world, you impart new knowledge all the time. And it has made me much more enthusiastic about the cheese industry, because I think in the last few years I wasn't so focused on it, and now it's really given me a real thirst for knowledge to get back into it.
And do you find that, I know that so we're here in studio in Roberta's, in the container in the back of Roberta's in Brooklyn, and you've had a few days, you've had a week actually, I think, in New York, in the US on this little trip that you guys are on, so I'm curious of your thoughts on like the cheese scene as you've seen it over this little stretch, this little visit you're doing. Because you're doing a very cheese-focused visit, it sounds like. You've been to the cheese ball and down in Philly.
Yeah, I mean, from what I've seen, I've visited a few cheese shops. Mm-hmm. Di Bruno's been one of them.
Oh.
And I've tasted, in fact, I wasn't really tasting any Italian or French cheeses when I was there.
Mm-hmm.
And the American cheeses I've tasted have been amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, some of the ones I've tried would easily sit on a cheese board with their European counterparts.
Yeah.
Easily.
Yeah.
And that was amazing. That was amazing. Because I've not really tried many of these US cheeses before.
Right, right.
And then the scene itself seems to be really vibrant. I mean, the cheese ball was amazing. There were 300 people there.
Wow.
The enthusiasm from the cheese makers. I've met a few of those now. I'm lucky enough. Some of them on cheese journeys.
Right.
Yeah, there seems to be a really, really good vibrant scene that can only grow.
Right.
Yeah.
How would you say it compares to what you experienced back in the day on the counter at Neil's Yard?
Well, actually, going into the Italian market, the Bruno's on
the Ninth Street store
was
an institution,
almost like walking back into the Covent Garden store of Neil's Yard. There was that level of enthusiasm and knowledge, and also I saw people there guiding customers through the shop, because often customers might not know exactly what they want when they walk in, and I could see the mongers there would be able to kind of whittle it down to the, you know, and it was amazing to see.
Yeah,
it's a like very similar experience to what I remember.
That's really neat. That's fun that, like, the same sort of spirit can exist
in
two such different locations, you know?
Yeah, there's an element of chaos in there as well.
I love that.
Oh, yeah, good chaos.
Organized
chaos, lots of amazing produce kind of on every single shelf.
Yeah.
And that was amazing to see.
Totally. Mm. Wow. So Anna, you know, in terms of like, while we're thinking about impressions and cheese scenes and stuff, so how many years have you been doing the tours now at this point? Is 4 years?
Five years.
Oh my gosh. And what have you seen in terms of, have you seen a change in your customers, you know, sort of like, has there been a change in their level of knowledge and their level of expectation of what cheese is or should be, or how precious or not precious it is, or how fancy it might be thought of? I'm curious, like, I think in the U.S. the cheese landscape is changing. It sometimes feels like it's changing so quickly. And so over 5 years, do you feel like you've seen a difference in the approach among your customers?
Oh, so much, especially in the last couple of years, I would say. You know, initially when I built kind of my targeted marketing business plan, I thought of East Coast shop and cheese enthusiasts that had access, you know, to cheese that maybe other areas of the country, that would be all of my customers, East Coast, West Coast, you know, those pocket areas, right? That we all know, where they were a little bit more advanced and experienced in cheese and artisanal food. But what's remarkable now is to be able to take people from the Midwest, you know, or rural areas, or see what's happening in the Southeast.
Right.
Right?
Right on this new North Carolina trip.
The whole North Carolina thing just surprised me in so many ways.
Where did that idea come from? Because it's like a lot of people say, oh, go to Wisconsin or go to Vermont or California, but...
Yeah, well, I have a gal that works with me who's Charlotte-based, and of course we know Ormond's Cheese Shop in Charlotte, and pretty soon the whole beer scene, I kind of wanted to do a locals five-day tour, and I had people from that area calling me saying, we want this kind of experience, can you build it? Mm. And that's fun. Mm-hmm. When people start to hear about what you're doing, there's no end to where we can go and take people to learn about food and cheese. That's a given. But I think when you see these unique places that are emerging,
right,
that I would not have thought of as being real destination spots for like the whole U.S. But of course, the synergy of beer, cheese, and all of what's going on down there.
Right.
Also, like in Vermont, we have a beautiful tour scheduled for next August in Vermont. And Concord Cheese Shop, Peter up there, is you know, supporting that project as well as other shops. So there's so many great places, but it's interesting where our customers are coming. They're not just from the stereotype locations that you would think. That's cool.
Very neat. And, you know, in terms of your own personal expectations, I'm curious, like, what initially got you into this idea? I know your family is deeply immersed in the cheese industry and has been for how long?
Ever? Time. I know. It's funny how that all evolved, you know?
Yeah. So what was your inspiration for even starting this project? And do you feel like it remains your motivation or has it changed?
No, I think it's maybe refined a little bit, but the same. In many ways, it's funny how I always tell people, most of us, I think, especially in the cheese world, we may have more than one passion in our life. Mm-hmm. And so at certain points in my life, I was a project developer for hospitals as an RN. Mm. So love that experience, love those years. Uh-huh. But when I also had my cheese shop, Gourmet Food, and I was deeply active traveling when I was young growing up, I had a father who was always off the grid, taking us to faraway places, even when it wasn't something that was typical. Uh-huh. And when I got to a certain point in my life, I said, it's all about doing what you enjoy doing and having that passion that makes you get up in the morning and want to enjoy that and share that with people.
Right.
And so it was about looking at yourself and saying, okay, this is all about, we live in a time now where the food travel is very popular. All of those things with what we see today happening in the U.S. with the Food Network, and people are on their phones, they're traveling, they know about international foods.
Right.
Things come together at the right time for this, and it was something where cheese and travel just kept pulling me back. It was how I liked to travel.
Yeah.
It was how I was called to do. I get calls all the time from friends and family who'll say, can you take me here and can you help plan a trip and can you, you know? And pretty soon I realized that's what I do.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I love that.
So you
that.
Were basically doing it, and then you realized, oh, I should like really do this.
I should really do that. And then the other piece of that, I think as a retail shop owner, I felt the value or the need, the compelling need to always be educating the customer. Mm-hmm. So how do we do that?
Right.
A shop owner can only do that so much. Right. A monger can only do that so much. Mm-hmm. Creating an opportunity where people can travel and learn about these cheeses is very special. Mm. And then I think the opportunity it creates for cheese makers to showcase what they do, tell their story, that's a valuable piece that we have gained so much learning from them. Hmm. They learn from us, that exchange. It's nice.
That's so great. Well, we are at the end of our show. I can't believe it. We've had our own little cheese journey right here in the studio. Anna, Sylvain, thank you so much for joining me in the studio here at Roberta's.
It's been great.
A pleasure.
So one more thing before we go. What's the best way for listeners to learn more about cheese journeys and follow vicariously, even if they aren't able to join in themselves?
Well, follow us first on social media. Facebook and Instagram is great, Cheese Journeys.
Okay.
Also, check out our website, cheesejourneys.com. All of the tours, itineraries, information, details about Sylvain and his life and what he's cooking and what we've got going, you'll find that on the website.
Very neat.
Email us anytime.
Okay, great. So listeners, thank you for tuning in. We'll be back next week with more Cutting the Curd.
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to hear about exclusive events, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at heritage_radio. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Rate the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join our community by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.
Hey, listeners, we're nearing the end of our 15th anniversary fundraising campaign, and we need your help to meet our goal. This campaign offers you a chance to win a unique food and music experience in one of the most exciting cities in America. Here's how it works. Donate to HRN and you'll be entered to win dinner for two and two tickets to a concert in one of eight amazing cities: New York, Los Angeles, Philadelphia, Nashville, Las Vegas, Charleston, Ardmore, Pennsylvania, and Asheville. All donations support our work educating food system storytellers. And when you donate, you can choose one of those cities, and you'll be entered to win dinner and two tickets to a show. So help us reach our goal and enter to win dinner and a show in the city of your choice. Check out heritageradionetwork.org/15 to donate and enter to win today. That's heritageradionetwork.org/15. Thank you.